Thank you for tuning in to episode 65 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And you can find our Ravelry group as Kitchen Stitches on Ravelry. And I'd love it if you would join us over there. I apologize for the delay in recording. It's been about a month, but I've just not had the time to do it. I am doing it today because I was afraid that I would never jump over that hump and get it done again if I didn't do it today while I am off work. I just want to say thank you to everyone who has reached out to me and to my mom, a free spirit, Ginger, on Instagram and Facebook. For those of you that don't know, we lost my brother last week, the Friday of last week, unexpectedly, and I had to make an emergency trip to Mississippi for his funeral, and it has been really tough. I don't want to really get into it because obviously it's very upsetting. But for those of you who have taken the time to send us messages, it's very much appreciated. I can't tell you how much it means to me. So thank you very much. And I'm going to move on from that because I just need to. So let's just talk about some knitting, okay? It's been a while, like I said, it's been over a month, or no, not over a month, it's been almost a month. And I have a lot to talk about. First of all, so I will talk about finished objects, works in progress. A half finished object that turned into an oops, unfortunately. Spinning, an event that I went to, on the nightstand, in the kitchen, I missed that one, and a giveaway because we just passed my 2-year Pottiversary, believe it or not. So I have a giveaway for you guys, and we'll talk about that at the end. So let's talk about my finished object. I have one finished object. I finished the Gorgeous Goddess Shawl, which is a free pattern by Dawn Ryden from the Anticraft. You can find it on Ravelry. You can also, if you do a Google search for it, you can find it there also. I did this in Dream and Color Smushy in the Green Lantern colorway, which is a very rich, dark kind of forest green. And this is a gift for a friend of mine. It is finished. I haven't woven in the ends because I can't find my tapestry needles right now, so I need to actually go buy a set of those today probably. But it turned out very well. I will say that if you do decide to knit this, look through the notes on Ravelry and find errata. There is an errata listed for the pattern, but it isn't complete. The problem I ran into was not listed in the errata, and I found a really good rewriting of the instructions. And I actually, if you look at my project page, I listed which project I found helpful, and it broke it down. There were probably about 10 rows in there that were off, which was a little frustrating. And so mine is, there's a part of it that looks a little bit wonky, but I don't think you would notice it unless you were a knitter or you're really nitpicky, and the friend of mine is not going to care. So I didn't rip back. I did have to rip back a little bit, but not as far as I probably needed to. Would I recommend the pattern? Well, it's a free pattern, and as long as you find the notes, yes, it is. It turned out as a very beautiful shawl, and I would recommend it, but just make sure you find the errata first because it was a little frustrating. I thought I was crazy after tinking and re-knitting the same row several times and not getting the right number of stitches. I thought I was crazy. Finally, it occurred to me that maybe I should search for errata, and I found it. So that is my finished object. Let's talk about works in progress, and I'll talk about my oops after that. I am still working on the Harry Potter house sweater for Laura for Christmas. Laura is my daughter who has started college this year. I am using Valley Superwash DK in color 02, which is steel gray, and there are stripes in classic navy and silver on that. And I am almost, I've finished the back, and I'm almost finished with the front. I had to rip back about 10 inches, which was incredibly frustrating. I apparently don't know how to use a tape measure. I had, when I finished the back, I counted the number of rows I needed to knit to get to the point where I was supposed to knit to on the front that was the same. And I'll have to recount and see if I don't know what I did wrong. But when I got to a point where I was getting close, I felt like I was getting close and measured. And I measured a few times and thought I had knitted about an inch longer than I was supposed to, which on the body of the sweater, that's fine. It just meant it would be a little bit longer. So I knit the front, this front portion, about an inch longer than I was supposed to, and then did the shoulder shaping, and I was almost done with the shoulder and sleeve shaping, not shoulder shaping, the sleeve shaping and the neck, and thought, you know, this is kind of big. This doesn't seem right. Finished the V-neck, held it up, and sure enough, it was about an inch too long. So I had to rip out all the way back to where I started the sleeve shaping and re-knit it. And I'm actually not done re-knitting it yet. I had done about half what I needed to do before Friday when we got the news about my brother, and I haven't touched it since then. I was going to bring it with me in the car for our trip, but I was at a point where I needed to pay more attention. Since I had already ripped it back once, I didn't want to risk that. So I left it here, and actually I had forgotten that I needed to be working on it until earlier today, so I'll have to pull that out and start working on it again. I have Laura will be coming home from college a month from tomorrow, actually, for winter break, but I don't have to have it finished by then. I just have to have it finished by Christmas. I was hoping I would have it done before she got here so that I could have it blocked and seamed and all of that without having to worry about her seeing it. I'm not sure I will do it. I will get that done. At this point, I've got just a little bit of the front left, and then both sleeves, and then the edging and the finishing, the seaming. And it's a lot of seaming. I have to seam the sides, and then I have to seam the sleeves too, which I wish I had remembered that they were not knit in the round, because I'm really not looking, really, really not looking forward to seaming those. But I'm not an experienced enough sweater knitter to know what to do and how to modify them to do them in the round. So this will be a very big learning experience for me with all of the seaming that I have to do. That said, I did buy last week, they were having a good sale on Craftsy on all of their courses. And I did purchase one of the, I don't remember what it was called, but it was a finishing course on Craftsy. So I will watch that before I seam, and hopefully I won't make a big mess of this. So that's one work in progress. I am also still working on the Skew Socks. It's a free pattern from Knitty by Lana Holden. I'm using Undead Yarn in the Children of the Cornflower base, colorway on the Vampiri base, which I absolutely love this base. Heidi of Undead Yarn has done, I just love the base she's chosen for this. It feels like there's a little bit of cashmere in it. It is so soft, and I am really, really enjoying knitting these socks. And I really like the color, too. I will post pictures. Well, I'm basically trying to get through the heel on it before I post another picture on Instagram. But check me out there soon. I'm actually determined to get the heel done today. So check it out. I'm very happy with these socks so far. And it's a really fun pattern. I I know that it's a little bit fiddly in places, and I may feel a little differently after I actually do the heel and start the leg, which, you know, I know there's some short rows involved, but so far I'm really enjoying that pattern. On my trip, because I needed somewhat mindless knitting, and this was not super mindless, but most of it was mindless, I brought Cerise, which is the second pattern in Curls by Hunter Hammerson. I have been working on this for, I want to think, it's got to be close to a year. I think maybe I started it in, well, you know, it hasn't been a year. I mean, I may check that real quick. Because I think I started that, I think I started that actually, or the first one, almost in January. And this is the second one. So it hasn't been as long as I thought. Let's see. I started that actually on February 16th. So it hasn't been a year, but it's been a long time. I find the pattern just kind of boring. I think it's going to be really pretty, but it takes a really long time to do just one row on this. And then the part of the pattern that makes it curl, even after having worked on it for so long, I still don't have it memorized. Yesterday, I had to fudge a couple of times in the car when I got to that part because I didn't have the right number of stitches. I don't think it'll matter in the long run, as long as I can fix it. And once I'm at home working on it and I'm not distracted at all, I think I'll get back on track with it. But it has just been a little bit frustrating. And the way the pattern works, it just takes longer than say stockinette or garter stitch or anything like that. Yeah, I would say it probably takes me almost twice as long to do a row with this pattern than it would if I were doing just a straight knitting. So I'm really ready to get done with this pattern. So I will probably pick it up, I don't know, sometime soon again. What I plan to do is weigh the ball and see how much I have left and see how much it takes to do one row, just so I can get an idea of how much longer I have. Because I think if I know how much longer it's going to take, it will be easier to keep going. But it just seems like that ball does not get any smaller. Clearly it is. I can look at it and tell. I mean, of course, it's a lot smaller than it was in February, but it's taking forever. It is really taking forever. It's going to be really pretty when it's done, but I really want to finish it before the end of the year, because Bookish Stitcher is doing her Sparkle Knit Along, and I think that's November and December. And if I can get that done, this will qualify for that, because it's really super sparkly yarn. What else am I working on? A couple of other things. So while my mom was visiting a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to cast on something new with my hand spun. So I cast on the Drunkard's Path headband, which is a pretty simple cable pattern. And I'm using my hand-spun Mountain Colors BFL in the lilac colorway, which is, it was some of the first hand-spun I did on my wheel, and it's fairly bulky. And the pattern is a free pattern by Kathy Snodgrass. And I have done two repeats of, I think it probably would be about 7 repeats total. And I haven't picked it up again since I worked on it a couple of weeks ago. But I think it'll be really cute when I'm done. Excuse me. The other thing that I am working on, yesterday I decided I wanted to cast on something else in hand spun. I don't know, I wasn't really thinking. I try to have one hand spun item on the needles recently anyway. And for some reason, this yarn was calling out to me, and it just had to be cast on yesterday. I was actually searching for patterns in the car on the way back from Mississippi so I could cast on something when I got home. So I am knitting with my hand spun Knitty and Color Merino Silk in the Street Spirit colorway. The fiber was gifted to me by Bookish Stitcher Jeanette last year for my birthday, I believe. And it is the only traditional three-ply that I've done, and working with it, I did a really good job with this yarn, if I may say so myself. The only thing about it is it's probably a little overspun. It tends to coil up on itself a little bit as I'm knitting, but I'm very pleased with knitting with it. And I am making the simple hat, which is a paid pattern, but it's a really inexpensive pattern. I think it was $2. It's a paid pattern by Alicia Plummer, and it's just a very basic knit cap. Kind of like the sockhead hat, except this is written for sport, and you don't knit it for as long. It is a little slouchy, but it's not as slouchy, and it's just a very simple hat. And at this point, I am about 2.5 inches into the brim, which is a 3-inch brim. So I'm almost to the point where I'm just going to be doing stockinette in the round for about 4 more inches past that. And I'm really enjoying the pattern. It's just, like I said, just a completely mindless knit. And it was interesting. I was knitting on it last night and, of course, had no natural light. And it looked very dark. I couldn't really see the colors in it at all. And then I picked it up this morning to knit on it, and you can really see the colors. It's kind of neon colors. It's got some... let me grab it real quick. I don't remember what colors it was in, where colors were in it. It's got... The base is mostly blue and green. So that looks like kind of the background colors on it, but then it has these pops of orange and pink and purple and yellow and a lighter green, and it's just, it kind of looks a little heathered when you look at it, and I'm really, really pleased with it, and I can't wait to finish it. I think this will be a super quick knit, and I will have it to wear hopefully within the next few days. So I'm really, really pleased with that. So those are my works in progress. The oops I mentioned, I was working on Socks on a Plane, which is a free pattern by Laura Linneman. I was using Desert Vista Dye Works in the Zombodies Eating Candy Corn colorway. And I finished the first sock, and I was knitting these on double zeros, which I usually use a zero, but decided that I wanted to try double zeros, and I shouldn't have because it turned out too small. Even trying it on, I felt like it might be a little small, but when I finished it and put it on, it was just too tight around the leg. So that has gone to timeout. I am pretty, well, because it doesn't fit, I'm going to frog it. And I'm thinking I may actually end up making a hat out of it instead of socks. I was looking at Sarah Shue's juxtaposed hat, which uses a soft striping fingering weight yarn, and I thought that would be a fun pattern to do that I could have around Halloween next year. Not that it's ever cold enough for hats at Halloween, but you never know. Maybe it will be. Maybe I won't always live here and I'll have it then. So that is my plan with that. A little frustrating, but I wasn't devastated. Spinning. I have been spinning a lot still. The last time I podcast, I was working on Greenwood Dye Works Heathered BFL in the Meteor Shower colorway. And this was 5 mini braids of fiber that were in a gradient colorway. And what I ended up doing was splitting those in half and doing a 2-ply gradient. And I ended up getting, oh gosh, I don't remember now, but I want to think it was around 400 yards of a, I'm not sure about that. Let me look that up too. While I'm thinking about it, I bet I didn't put it in here. Let me keep talking. So I spun this as a gradient, and I ended up with, wow, I didn't write it down. Why didn't I write it down? Oh, well. That's really frustrating. I can't believe I did that. Anyway, I got a lot. I would say it's a fingering weight gradient. It goes from kind of a light, not a baby pink, but kind of a rose color, up to a very dark purple. Or maybe it goes into, yeah, it goes from like a rose color to a magenta to a denim blue to a darker purple to a very dark purple, if I remember correctly. That's really annoying. But I am going to probably give that as a gift to a friend of mine for her birthday. And it turned out really well. I was actually really debating whether or not to give it away because I like it a lot. But then when I was shopping a couple of weeks ago, I'll talk about this in a minute, I bought some fiber that I think will, for me, will replace it. And I have an idea of what I want to do with that. But I'll talk about that in a minute. So yeah, that is the spinning that I finished. And then, well, no, that's one fiber that I finished. Once I finished that one, I put another Greenwood Fiber Arts, or no, Greenwood Dye Works braid on the wheel. And that was another BFL. And that was in the Mallard colorway. And I ended up with a little over 200 yards, probably about 210, 215 yards of, I'm looking out the window because it's sitting there. It's probably about a DK weight. I haven't measured it yet. I actually finished it before we left on Sunday. I finished it Saturday. I finished it Sunday morning before we left. And then I took it off the wheel last night and soaked it this morning. So I haven't had a chance to measure it again. And I'm very pleased with it. And the nice thing about this is that my mom brought me a skein that she had spun with the same colorway. And then she did it as a 3-ply. So I have a 3-ply and a 2-ply of the same colorway. So I will post something to Instagram comparing the two and what they look like. And I am going to make socks out of the 3-ply because it does have nylon and it will be it's a nice weight for socks. And I've never had a pair of hand spun socks. So I'm probably just going to do a vanilla sock pattern with those. And I'm going to cast that on really soon. And then I don't know what I'll do with what I spun. I might do the same pattern that I'm doing right now and just do another simple hat with that. I don't think I have enough to do. I definitely don't have enough to do a shawl. I might be able to do a cowl or one of the shawl cowl type things, kind of like a Zuzu's petals, but I'm not sure yet. So that is finished spinning. And then today I put on the wheel Frabjous Fibers, which is a merino sparkle in the Camille colorway, which I haven't done enough of it to be able to tell you for sure what colors it is, and it's in the other room. But I know there's green and blue and brown, and I want to think there's probably some kind of a reddish pink colorway. It was absolutely stunning. I bought this at Stitches in September. And this is the one that my friend Katie bought so that I could spin it for her. So I'm spinning that up for her now, and I am loving it so much. I have got to buy myself a braid of this. It's a lot of fun to spin. The sparkle in it is just going to give it such a nice sheen. It is so, so pretty. So that is on my to buy soon list. And I don't know when I'll buy it, but I'll buy it soon. So those are all of the things that are on my wheel. I am doing a little bit of spindling these days. I hadn't for a long time, probably since about June, But lately, I've been getting it out in the mornings over, you know, while I drink my coffee and just doing about 10 or 15 minutes of spindling in the morning. It's just really relaxing. So I've worked on that a little bit. I am still working my way through the samples that I got from the Fat Fiber box in March. And then I just recently was able to snag one of the boxes for October, which had a reading theme. So, of course, I had to buy it. And I've been, I've just been really enjoying that. So that is all of my spinning. I mentioned events. My mom, when she was here the weekend of Halloween, and we went to the International Quilt Festival, which is here, held here in Houston every year. It is one of the biggest quilting conventions in the world, I believe. And this was the first time either one of us had been, and it was so much fun. We only got to spend, we were probably only there about maybe 4 hours, maybe a little bit longer than that. It was on a Friday. My son was in school. My husband was out of town and we had to pick him up about, you know, between 3:30 and 4. So we just didn't have as much time as we would have liked to have spent, but the quilts were amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It was like being in a museum for quilts. It was gorgeous. They were just astounding. And I actually am really looking forward to going back next year and seeing it again. We did go in the market and I was blown away. I could not believe how big the market was. I don't know. I was expecting something maybe along the size of the Stitches market in Dallas. I had no idea how big it was, but this was one huge exhibit hall filled with booths, mostly selling fabric. I was really glad that I am not a quilter because I don't know how I could have handled it. It was too much stimulation. For me, I knew that there were some places selling some yarn and some fiber, so I did this marathon run through trying to find the places that were, took a look, and then came back to what I wanted to buy in about an hour. It was amazing. I don't know how I did that. But I ended up buying a gradient set from WC Mercantile, which is a yarn shop in Navasota, Texas, which is maybe about an hour from here. I'm not exactly sure how far it is. I've never been there. I've only seen them at shows. But It was 10 ounces for about $28, maybe not even that much. And what I plan to do with it is divide it in half and do two skeins, not try to ply it all together because I couldn't fit all of that on my wheel. But what I'm going to do is knit or spin them differently. So the same colors. Do one as a two-ply, just without dividing it into thin strips, and then the second one divide into thinner strips. So it will look a little bit different. The color sequences will be the same, but the length of the colored sections will be different. And do something like a TGV, the high-speed knitting shawl that I've done a couple of times already, but do the garter section in one of them and then the border in the other one. So it'll look a little bit different, but it will complement each other. So that is my plan for what to do with that, and I'm actually really excited about it. So that was a lot of fun. I look forward to doing it. If you're ever in the Houston area, the first weekend in November. If you are in the area or you have a way to get here, I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun and I will go back. In the kitchen. So when my mom was visiting, it was also her birthday. It was Halloween weekend, but her birthday is the day after Halloween. So of course I had to bake her a cake. And I ended up baking a chocolate peanut butter gooey butter cake. And it was really good. Honestly, I don't think my mom got to have the best of it because I think it is better the day after. And I baked it on her birthday and she left the next day. So what we had for the remainder of the week was fabulous. What she had was really good, but it sets differently after a day, and I think the edges soften up a little bit. So if you've never had a gooey butter cake, the premise is you take a boxed cake mix and you make the bottom layer, and it's butter, an egg, and the cake mix, and that's it. So it makes a very thick dough. You put it on the bottom, and then you make the top layer, which is more kind of like a filling, which uses a box of powdered sugar, eggs, I don't even remember what all, but it makes this, cream cheese. It makes this kind of it reminds me a little bit of cheesecake, a little bit of a chess pie, if you've ever had that. It has a nice, like, crunchy top, and it's really delicious. And this is the first time I'd ever done one with peanut butter, and it was really good. I enjoyed that cake a lot. And it lasted us until pretty much the end of the week. So that was what I made with that. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about is Blue Apron. And if you haven't heard of Blue Apron, what it is a meal, it's more like a meal ingredient delivery service. So you prepay for a certain number of meals per week, and it varies depending on the plan you choose. They have one that is for two people, and then there's a family one, which can be 4 to 6 people, I think, and there are two levels within that. And then you choose the number of meals that you want to have delivered. And we chose 2 meals per week for our family, and there isn't a 3-person option, so we chose the 4-person option, which will give us an extra meal for someone to have as leftovers if they want it. And it comes, basically it's kind of like a grocery delivery service and a recipe site thrown into one. So you get the recipe plus all of the ingredients you need for it, with a recipe card that has really, really good instructions, and for a certain amount. And we've done 1 week, well, we've done 2 weeks, we haven't made the meals for the second week yet. But the first week we had cod cakes with coleslaw and roasted potatoes. And it was really good. We really enjoyed that. The second meal was a Mexican chicken and rice casserole, which my husband really liked. My son liked it okay, and I didn't really like it that much. Just because I'm not a big rice eater. So that kind of turned me off a little bit. And I also just didn't like the seasonings very well. But it was easy, and that was just my personal preference on that. There wasn't anything wrong with the recipe. This week, the 2 recipes we got, one of them is stir-fry beef and udon noodles, and the other one is garlic shrimp and rice cauliflower. And I'll do one of them tonight. I'm not sure which one. I'll ask my husband which one he wants, because I don't care one way or the other. We'll have one tonight and one tomorrow night. And this week, the one problem with it, well, this isn't usually a problem, but you have, if you don't, you can skip any week you want, but you have to skip it about a week ahead of time. So for us, we had passed the deadline, and then we were going out of town. So I was really worried that this was going to be, our delivery day is Tuesday. We weren't sure if the funeral was going to be Monday or Tuesday. If it were Tuesday, we wouldn't have been back yet. And I would have had to get the person who was watching the dog to unpack it for us and all of that stuff. So I was a little frustrated. It was too late to cancel it. But at the same time, the good news is that we have these 2 meals that were shipped to us that meant we didn't have to do grocery shopping this week until, really we could get away without grocery shopping at all until the weekend. So that was really helpful. It is not an inexpensive product or service, but it works out for us to about $9 per person per meal, which is less than if we were to go out to eat. So if I were to buy the stuff for these, for the meal without it being prepackaged, I could probably buy the ingredients for less. That said, I would also probably buy more of some of the ingredients than I actually need for it, so there might be some waste involved. And it's the part of it that we, you know, the meal planning, the going to the grocery store, just knowing that for two meals out of the week, I don't have to think about it, that they're just going to ship me something. For me, that's worth a little bit of extra money. So we're going to try it for a few weeks. I'm going to go ahead and get next week's delivery too. I've already skipped the delivery for the week of Thanksgiving because there will be other food involved. And I enjoy cooking for Thanksgiving. And we may go out of town to visit some friends for Thanksgiving dinner. And it looked like the meals were meant to either go along with the Thanksgiving meal or to use leftovers or not. It wasn't worth it to me to get it, but so far I'm really liking the service. If you have any questions about it, feel free to ask me. I'm not being paid by them or anything. I just found it while we were watching, I think, America's Test Kitchen or something one day and decided to give it a shot. And so far so good. We'll see we'll probably give it a month or two a month and see if we're still enjoying it, maybe through the holidays. And then if we're not enjoying it anymore, then we'll cancel. That's the one good thing with it. There is no obligation, so we can cancel anytime. So that is my In the Kitchen. And let's see, what's next? I lost my notes. Sorry. I somehow managed to close my show notes. Okay. On the nightstand. Okay. I finished reading The Crimson Petal and the White, which I talked about the last time. That's a novel by Michael Faber. It is about 900 pages long, and it really only took me, I don't think it only took me about a month to read, if that at all. And for the most part, I liked it. It dragged a little bit. It was really long. There were parts when I was enjoying it, but I was ready to be done with it because it was so long. That said, I really did enjoy reading it. I'm glad I read it. It was one of those books that I don't say I dreaded reading, but I was afraid that it was going to drag and that I wasn't going to enjoy it. I wasn't confident that I was actually going to make it through the whole thing. But I did enjoy it, and I'm glad that I actually read it. I am currently reading John Saturnall's Feast, which is a novel by Lawrence Norfolk. And I'm going to pull up Goodreads so I can tell you about it. I have that open. Mostly have it open. Oh, no, it is open. I'm just blind. Okay, so I'm actually reading this one as my main book, and then I have two audiobooks going, and I have a backup book as well. So, John Saturnall's Feast is the one that I am reading when I'm at home and when I'm on the bus. And this is what it is about. Let's see. Give me 1 second. Okay. Load. Okay. This is what the summary in Goodreads says about John Saturnall's Feast. A beautiful, rich, and sensuous historical novel, John Saturnall's Feast tells the story of a young orphan who becomes a kitchen boy at a manor house and rises through the ranks to become the greatest cook of his generation. It is a story of food, star-crossed lovers, ancient myths, and one boy's rise from outcast to hero. Orphaned when his mother dies of starvation, having been cast out of her village as a witch, John is taken in at the kitchens at Buckland Manor, where he quickly rises from kitchen boy to cook and is known for his uniquely keen palate and natural cooking ability. However, he quickly gets on the wrong side of Lady Lucretia, the aristocratic daughter of the lord of the manor. In order to inherit the estate, Lucretia must wed, but her fiancé is an arrogant buffoon. When Lucretia takes on a vow of hunger until her father calls off her engagement to her insipid husband-to-be, it falls to John to try to cook her delicious foods that might tempt her to break her fast. Reminiscent of Wolf Hall and Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, John Saturnall's Feast is a brilliant work and a delight for all the senses. So you might understand why I would be drawn to this, because of all of the cooking, and definitely a foodie, so I was drawn to that. It took me probably 100 pages to really get into it. I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to keep reading it. Basically, my plan was to get through the first week. I read it on my way to and from work on the bus. And I figured that if by the end of the week I hadn't gotten into it, that I would quit. And I do like it now. So I am continuing with that. I am probably about a quarter of the way done with it. And then the two audiobooks that I'm reading, I'm not listening to them simultaneously, but I started one using my library's OverDrive account, and then my loan expired and there was a hold on it, so I couldn't pick it up immediately. So I started the next one that I plan to listen to. And I'm not sure what I'll do when the hold comes available for the other one. We'll figure that out when the time comes. But the first one that I had started listening to was Between Georgia, which is by Jocelyn Jackson. And I'm pulling up the summary for that. I was really enjoying this one, so I can't wait to get the hold filled again so I can continue listening to this one. This is what it says. Nani Fret understands the meanings of rock and hard place better than any woman ever born. She's got two mothers, one deaf-blind and the other four baby steps from flat crazy. She's got two men, her husband who's easing out the back door and her best friend who's laying siege to her heart in her front yard. She has a job that holds her in the city, and she's addicted to a little girl who's stuck deep in the country. And she has two families, the Frets, who stole her and raised her right, and the Crabtrees, who lost her and can't forget that they've been done wrong. And the audiobook is read by the author, and her southern accent is just perfect for the characters, and she does a really, really good job of narrating. You know, it's hit or miss when the author narrates herself. But this one is really good, and it's funny, it's made me laugh out loud several times, and I'm really enjoying that one. The other one that I am reading, I actually just started listening to this morning, it is The Kiss of Deception by Mary E. Pearson, and this is the first in a young adult series called The Remnant Chronicles, and let's see what it is about. Honestly, I've listened to about an hour of 13 hours, so I can't tell you too much. So this is what it says. A princess must find her place in a reborn world. She flees on her wedding day. She steals ancient documents from the Chancellor's secret collection. She is pursued by bounty hunters sent by her own father. She is Princess Leia, 17, first daughter of the House of Morrigan. The kingdom of Morrigan is steeped in tradition and the stories of a bygone world, but some traditions Leia can't abide, like having to marry someone she's never met to secure a political alliance. Fed up and ready for a new life, Leia flees to a distant village on the morning of her wedding. She settles in among the common folk, intrigued when two mysterious and handsome strangers arrive, and unaware that one is the jilted prince and the other an assassin sent to kill her. Deception swirl, and Leia finds herself on the brink of unlocking perilous secrets, secrets that may unravel her world, even as she feels herself falling in love. So far, like I said, I'm only an hour into it, but I'm really enjoying this one. I will have to juggle the two books as my holds come in, and hopefully I won't find myself with a third one waiting for these other holds to be filled. I actually feel like probably I do have an Audible subscription, which I probably need to cancel, but I have some credits, and I feel like if when I finish the Between Georgia one, because I'm certain that that hold will come through before the Kiss of Deception is finished. And that one had a long hold list. I waited for a long time to get that hold. I probably will just go ahead and use a credit on Audible to finish up one of the two of the books. But both of those I am enjoying a lot so far. Both of them have really good narration. And last but not least, I have a giveaway. So I mentioned that it is my 2-year Podiversary. Technically, I think it might have been November 1st. November 1st or November 2nd. It was right at the beginning of November, 2 years ago when I started the podcast. And I can't believe I've kept it up this long. It may not be the most popular podcast out there. My Ravelry group is teeny tiny, but I really enjoy talking to you guys, and that's what keeps me recording. And hopefully there are at least some of you out there who keep coming back and enjoy listening, even on rambly days like today. So for this giveaway, I am going to give away some of my handspun. I looked through to see what I had that I could part with, and I mean, I could probably part with some early handspun that is not very good, but I wouldn't do that for you. And I had to look through some of my more current, where I'm getting a lot better with my spinning, and see if there was anything that I felt like I could part with. And it's all pretty, because I don't buy fiber if I don't like it. I mean, of course, you know, they're all pretty colors. But I chose this one because the colors are similar to the type of thing that I will probably buy again, and it's pretty evenly spun. It's super soft, and I think that someone will enjoy it. So what I am giving away is Mountain Colors BFL, and it's DK to a light worsted. I don't think I wrote that down. Wait, actually, maybe I still have that up here. I wrote down how much yardage it is, but I didn't seem to write down. I didn't write down how the thickness. Let me look and see if I have it on Instagram. I would say it is a DK to light worsted, and the colors are very autumny. You've got some kind of tealy green, more like almost a foresty green, with some kind of maroon and some browns, and you know, maybe different shades of teal. It's really pretty. I will, of course, post a picture on the Ravelry group of what this is. Let me go back a little bit. When did I spin this? I don't even remember where I got this. Where did I get Mountain Color? I don't even remember when I bought this anymore. Gosh. Okay, there it is. So I spun this during Tour de Fleece. That's crazy that I don't even remember. I think maybe I bought it at... I don't remember. That's crazy. Anyway, yeah, I have it down here as probably worsted, maybe heavy DK BFL. I don't think I actually measured the wraps per inch on this. But it is a really nice, I think you will really, somebody will really enjoy this. It's super soft and squishy. Disclosure, there are definitely some animal fibers that are not wool. Probably some dog hair and cat hair. So if you are allergic, keep that in mind. You may not want this, but I will open a thread on the Ravelry group, and I don't know what I want you to tell me. Tell me what you're planning to do for Thanksgiving if you're in the United States, or what your holiday plans are if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Just tell me something interesting. I don't really care. Just put your name in there if you want it, and I'm going to give this 2 weeks. So, well, I'll put it this way. I'm going to give it until I record the next time. And I plan to record, well, if I record before then, I'm going to give it at least 2 weeks. If I record before then so be it. I will give it another week past that. But I'm looking at probably the week of, I don't know, because I don't know what today is. Today is Wednesday, November 11th. I'll probably give it... I'll probably record sometime right after Thanksgiving. So I'll give it... Let's say I'll give it till December 1st. How does that sound? And if I don't record before then, I'll just give it until I open. I mean, until I do record again. Sorry, that's rambly. Here we go again. The giveaway is for a skein of Mountain Colors BFL. That's about 152 yards of light worsted to heavy DK. And I will draw for that. I will close the thread either on December 1st or when I record the next time. Okay. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with me. Again, thank you again for everyone who has reached out to me and my mom. And I will talk to y'all again in a few weeks, at least. Bye.